Today is October 8th, 2021. My name is Priya Ray, and I'm going to be talking to Gary Lynn for the COVID Disability Archive. We are recording these oral histories as a way to document the lived experience of disabled, chronically ill, and neurodivergent individuals during the COVID-19 pandemic. Could you tell me your name, age, and pronouns, and where you live?
Yes. My name is Gary Lynn, and I am from Houston, Texas, and I am 29 years old, and I go by he, him.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Tell me how you would describe your identity, and it could be anything, you know, disabled, a man, whatever, however you identify as a person.
I identify as a disabled Caucasian male that's about it.
Okay, that's aptly, that's a good description. When did you first learn about the pandemic, and what was your experience with it as far as emotions?
I first started recognizing there was a, you know, a serious pandemic, what I was saying, March of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started paying attention to the seriousness, you know, it was right around the first 30-day shutdown period. And I was, I guess you say, scared and a little more anxious and a little more, you know, precautious of what I was doing and a little more careful about going out and I started following the CDC recommendations of wearing masks and social distancing. But I guess you would say my overall feeling was maybe a little scared and, you know, anxious, I would say.
Okay. Thank you. What were one of the first conversations you had with anyone about the pandemic?
I guess you would say that the first conversation was about the pandemic was with my mom because, you know, she's my primary caretaker and, you know, we just talked about, you know, having to limit our daily activities outside the home and where we were going and you know, just trying to be more wary of not gathering around so many people and, you know, like I said before, taking COVID precautions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then, after that, I guess you would say, had a couple conversations with my friends on Facebook who are also wheelchair users and experience the same needs that I have. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, how they're dealing with the pandemic and how they're making it through. And that sort of conversation.
All right. Thanks, Gary. How has your experience with the pandemic changed over, this says 9 months, but this was like probably 9 months. So let's just say, changed over the course of the past year?
I think we're close to a year and a half, almost 2 years, right?
Right. Right, correct.
Well, obviously, I'm a little I'm a little less weary about the pandemic, you know, since the vaccine has come out and I am fully vaccinated. I still try to be careful, you know, but I'm a little less weary about, you know, I'd say a little less stressful now that I am vaccinated. And obviously, I know that doesn't fully mean that you can't get COVID, obviously, but hopefully, if a person does end up with COVID and is fully vaccinated, they won't get as sick as they would if they're not vaccinated. So, you know, but like I said, I'm still careful and still gotta be a little, you know, limit where I go and how many people I hang around with on a daily basis, and the more I hear my friends getting vaccinated, you know, the more I see some of my friends getting vaccinated, and it makes me a little more comfortable than be around them and go places with them.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And I'm going to add a question because these questions were obviously written before vaccinations were even available. So, what was your experience with getting vaccinated? How did it make you feel?
Well, I got vaccinated in February, early February, and first vaccination, you know, I'll tell you my experience, what I experienced right afterwards was, I experienced a headache. It was pretty bad, and I did get a fever after the first vaccination, and it was about 104 of my temperature, and, you know, so, but and I had a really bad headache. It was a splitting headache, but I ended up taking a Tylenol, even though, no, you're not really supposed to, but I had to take one because my head hurt so bad, and I couldn't even hold up my head. That's how bad my head was. But anyway, I took a Tylenol, and about 20 minutes later, I felt better, and my headache went away completely, and my fever did break, so that was good. And I was basically back to normal, you know, after I did that Tylenol, you know. I was basically back to my normal self, so. You know, so I was lucky, I guess, and I really didn't have any serious side effects, I would say, after the vaccine. Not as serious as some other people I know who took the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Which vaccine did you take?
I did the Moderna.
The Moderna? Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. What have your relationships with people been like throughout this entire time? Have any of your relationships changed?
Well, obviously, I would say my friendships changed and relationships changed. I wouldn't say I lost anybody due to the pandemic. I wouldn't say I lost any friendships or relationships. But I would say that obviously a little more strain, and they've become a little more distant with people. Obviously, because, you know, you're not seeing them as in person as much as you would if there was not the pandemic going on. So I would say my relationships and friendships are a little more distant. And, you know, obviously more in a virtual setting than in-person setting than there would be without a pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case for everybody, not just disabled people or me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously a lot of people are working from home now. And they're not necessarily disabled. They're still working from home and doing virtual conferences. And, you know, so. Like, even doctor's appointments are, you know, they're in a more virtual video setting.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel? I mean, how do you feel that, you know, now doctors are doing this tele appointments instead of, I mean, do you like that better, or what? How do you feel about that?
Well, there are pros and cons to virtual doctor's appointments. I feel like, if you're going for a physical examination or if you're sick, obviously, it's going to be hard to tell what's wrong with you over the computer, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in my opinion, they can't really tell what's wrong with you without looking at you and seeing you in person. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But on the other hand, I mean, if you just need a medicine refill, or you just want to let your doctor know that what's going on with you, or then it can be a good thing for people, you know, who don't have to travel in to see their doctor. And, you know, if you're like me, who relies either on a caregiver to transport them or public transportation. And, you know, that's not always accessible to people with disabilities. So in that case, you know, you might love help with your doctor. And I don't dislike telehealth. I don't love telehealth. You know, it's something in between for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I'm totally understand.
But if you have the flu or stomach problems, or let's just say breathing problems, whatever, then you can't tell what's going on with you.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, there's pros and cons to the televisiting. I agree with you on that. Your living situation, who do you currently live with, and how's the pandemic affected that? And, you know, do you use personal care attendants? And if you do, has that been affected by the pandemic?
I currently live with my mom and one of my brothers. We're all in the house together. Like I said earlier, my mom is my primary caregiver. And, and then I have other family members that come in and take care of me, like my brothers, and, you know, they help out. But I don't per se use, at this time, I don't use any per se outside caregivers, you know, besides my family. But I do know, I do have friends of doing, and they tell me that they've been affected by this pandemic. You know, they can't always get the care they need. And, you know, some of these caregivers are leaving. And if they leave, and, you know, I hear from some people that it's hard to find a new one. And not to get too political, but that's why I'm helping the helping community-based services law pass. If you're familiar with that, I hope it passes through because we really need caregivers, and they deserve to be paid livable wage, and in my opinion, they deserve healthcare benefits because it is a full-time job. And, you know, I hear over and over again about a revolving door of caregivers because, you know, they aren't paid enough and they don't get healthcare benefits, so they keep leaving. And it becomes a real mess for people with disabilities that have to keep finding a caregiver.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Gary. I personally don't think that's political. That's just practical, in my opinion. But, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, the way. Yeah, you know the way people are. They turn everything into a. But I don't care who you vote for, but to me, homing community-based services can be a nonpartisan issue to me.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that. So do you feel your relationships with different institutions like healthcare, government, media has changed during this time? And if so, how?
Yes, I would feel my healthcare, you know, relationship with media and government. I feel like it has changed because prior to the pandemic, you know, I was very involved going to city council meetings and mayor meeting on commission with disabilities, and I would advocate for stuff, you know, better transportation and improving sidewalks here in Houston that are not passable for wheelchair users. And I would say all that is not really going on right now due to the pandemic. So if you want to reach out to your government official at any level, you have to either email them or you know, a lot of these government meetings are done virtual. So obviously that has changed for me. That I can't. I believe advocacy is more effective if they see you in person, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but, I do.
I mean, that's my personal belief, but so I believe that advocacy efforts are less effective in a virtual setting.
So what has been the hardest thing about living through this pandemic for you?
I would say the hardest thing for me is obviously worrying about, you know, COVID coming down with this virus, because I have lost a couple friends to the virus. So in that situation, you know, it's scary to think somebody like me who needs care could end up possibly on a ventilator and possibly with no one there for me to provide the care that I need.
Yeah, I understand that. So have there been any silver linings for you during this time?
Yes, one silver lining is that I was able to finish a couple college science courses at the community college, and I made I made the region for I was inducted into the region for District Hall of Honor, and I was also voted outstanding Phi Theta Kappa chapter member at my college here in Houston.
That's great. That's great, Gary. And
during this pandemic, I had surgery on my feet that it was to redo a bone that it was to save down a bone that I had worked on years ago and it wasn't done properly, so I had to find a surgeon, and lucky enough, he was able to redo that surgery and get it done right. So I would say my successful surgery on my feet was another silver lining.
Yeah, that's great. That is a great silver lining. Okay, I mean, I don't know if you have anything else you'd like to say. That's pretty much all the questions I have, but please feel free to sum up anything you want to talk about.
No, I just encourage people to get back daughter to their daughter, and I don't want to say everybody's going to get vaccinated because I realize it's not right for everybody, but I encourage people to talk to their doctor and about the vaccine and what's right for them, and not listen to everything on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Because I hear people telling me, well, I read this and that on Instagram or Facebook. And I try to tell them that they don't need to be reading all that stuff on social media. You need to talk to your doctor and find out what's best for you, and then make your decision. So that's what I would tell people. And hopefully they listen to me and take my advice. And if not, then that's on them. But I'm just here to say that I believe COVID is a very serious virus. It's more than the flu or the common cold, and I hear people tell me that, and I just can't believe they tell me these things. I know people that have gone through it personally, and The outcome wasn't that good. So, that's about all I would say is listen to your doctor and take their advice.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree with everything you said, Gary. Yeah. So thank you very much for doing this again. I really appreciate it. And